We're going to be in Matthew 6, as you can see, and then we're talking about living the worry-free life. First, I want to talk to you about, if you've ever seen the TV series, I Almost Got Away With It. Have you guys seen that? Somebody's gotten out of prison on their own without permission, of course, and they're out there running from the law, and they either escaped prison or they left before prison, and they're tracked down and caught. That's what the almost in parentheses means. I almost got away with it. You ever notice, by the way, if you ever watch that, when people run away, they almost always run to Texas. I don't know why that is. I'll tell Shirley, we're watching a program with something going on in New Jersey, and this guy eluded the police, and I nudged Shirley, and I didn't really nudge her, but she's a little further over. I said, I'll bet you when the next thing they say is that he went to Texas. And sure enough, boom, just like that. Well, and they went to Texas. I don't know why they go to Texas. Maybe because they think they can go hide out, in all the little towns and prairies. And they probably can, but they usually get found. But could you just imagine if you were there, put yourself in their shoes, you've escaped the prison or you've escaped going to prison after a court, you got away somehow. And you have to go out and you have to change your whole identity. You either go to Texas or you go on even down to Mexico. Maybe that's what you do, is you get far away as you can. But no matter what, are you not always a little nervous that you will maybe get caught? Doesn't that happen? I mean, can you just imagine that? I read the story this last week about a guy from Latvia. He was in a Latvian prison. Sergei was his name. He had been convicted for really 7 years, and he served just 5 months short of reaching his seventh year, and he would have been released, and he escaped. It was a minimum security prison, and you just wonder, why couldn't you have just waited five more months, you know? And he went on the lam. He went on the run. You got to be an escaped convict to use that term. He went on the lam. But he ran off and he hid for 5 years. But he was always looking over his shoulder. And what happened was, after 5 years of looking over his shoulder and feeling all the anxiety of that, he actually walked to that minimum security prison and turned himself in. I mean, it was so hard to live with the anxiety that he had. And so here we are with Jesus. Now, last week I said that Jesus has quit preaching and gone to meddling when he started talking to us about money and giving and earthly possessions as opposed to heavenly treasures. Well, he's still in the process of meddling now. He's preaching to us, but, you know, we would say he's gone to meddling because he's talking about something that all of us feel. I'm assuming that. In fact, here's what I want to do. Don't raise your hand yet. Listen to this. If you have not ever in your life worried about anything, raise your hand. You can actually respond if you would like. Nobody's raising their hand. If you just look around, you realize, is it not with human beings 100%? Is it not? I mean, so you're not alone, by the way. If you have anxieties, if you have worry at times, it's just part of the human life. It's not a good thing because Jesus says, don't worry. And that's really what it is. About five times in some different ways, he says that particular idea. Don't worry. He starts out with it. He continues with it. He gets through all of these verses. Notice verses 25 through 34. He gets through the whole thing and talks to us about the fact that we need to not worry anymore. A lot of it is in the form of a command, but really the rest of it is God, Jesus, showing us in a rational, logical way why it's just not a good idea. Let me read it to you, the whole thing. This is the New Living Translation. I've got the NIV too, so you'll hear it from there as well. But let me read the whole thing. Just listen to this passage extremely familiar passage, I know, but let's pick it up at verse 25. If you're with me, this again is New Living Translation, so it might sound a little different than the one you have. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, and clothes. Doesn't life consist more than food and clothing? This is his first question. Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than they are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Second question. And then he says, of course not. Absolutely not. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? Third application question. You have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. I think I would underline that in my Bible. If you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Final verse then, verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And we should be able to amen that. I mean, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit. But Jesus talks to us in this and says a lot of things. And the way I thought I would approach it for all of us is to look at just really two things. And that is two things that Jesus says. First of them is he tells us why we should not worry. And he says three things about that. And we'll take a look at that first off. But then number two, he tells us how to become worry-free. If you want a worry-free life, Jesus actually gives you how to do it. And so you can take that home. If we had a bulletin, you could fill in the blanks on the backside. That's funny how that is, isn't it? At any rate, if you want to take notes, you might profit from this because of what Jesus says, because this is such a huge thing for most of us as human beings. So first of all, Jesus tells us why we should not worry. Three reasons why. And the first one is because life is about more than that. When you talk about your food and your drink and your clothing, and that's all you're worried about, Jesus would say to you, first off, the first reason why you shouldn't worry about those things is there are more things in life that life is about than that. He says in verse 25 again, so I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, and clothing. Doesn't life consist of more than food or clothing? There he is. Here's the first one. And so we should get it into our hearts and minds. What Jesus is saying to us is when we worry about these things, whether it's money or whether it's some job application we're applying for or something that we're hoping doesn't happen or does happen, we're worried about things that there are things that go far beyond that. Life consists more than of those things. And so notice he said, look at the birds. That's the first thing, illustration, if you will. God feeds them. And they don't worry about anything. I mean, you know, we got a little bird's nest in the back of our house that one of my grandsons built for us. And we're going to keep that until we die because it's so great to us. But, you know, you can look into that little birdhouse and you aren't going to find any food stacked along the edges, you know. Birds don't go out. They don't buy farms. You don't have a little bird farm somewhere where they're raising things so that they can take the grain. No, they go into the farmer's field in spite of the scarecrow and get whatever they want, you know, because it's there for them. And we've all seen that. Birds, sometimes we'll put feed out for them. And if the squirrel don't take it all, you know, there's at least some left for the birds, and the birds are able to do it. So look at the birds. And then he also says, look at the flowers. I mean, look at their splendor and how wonderful they are and how God clothes them. And won't he clothe you even more? I mean, again, these things aren't that serious in life. There's so many more important things. And then he says in verse 29, well, look at Solomon. I mean, Solomon's all decked out, and yet God dresses the flowers better than he does to them. A very wealthy, wealthy man. So that's the first one, because life is more than that. Why not worry? You know, well, because there's more to life than what the things we worry about are. And so let's don't worry, he's saying, about these common everyday things, because there's more important things for you to think about. Now, not to worry about. And you understand there's a difference between worry and, say, being concerned. Have you been concerned about something in life? There's nothing wrong with being concerned. The Apostle Paul writes about some problems he had had with shipwrecks and, you know, all kinds of perils and different things. And at the end of it, he said, and the most important one is my concern for the churches. It's really the same word as anxiety, my concern for the churches. So there are things that we can be concerned about. Concern is an emotion, a feeling that is okay as long as it's applied in the right ways. We can be concerned about our children's health or our own health or what's going on in the world, be concerned, but not different than anxiety. So that's the first thing. There's more to life than these things. Here's number two. Because it won't do you any good to worry. Can your worries add a single moment to your life? Yes or no? No. It doesn't happen. There's no way that you can get more time just by worrying. There's no way. In essence, he's saying, look at the clock. You know, you can't change that. You can't add more time to what you have in life. When he asked that question, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? His answer is, what yours would be, of course not. And so there's a reason why we ought not worry, because it's really, it won't do any good, is what he would say, to worry. Worrying does you no good. Wouldn't you agree, though, that it does do you bad, doesn't it, when you worry? Sometimes it gets you so distracted and you feel so wrought up, and you know you're wringing your hands, maybe not physically, but in your mind. And it's just not a good feeling. It's not a good thing. And so Jesus said, of course, you're not going to add to your life in that. Now, here's a passage that we studied on Sunday night during a devotional time. And, boy, you miss it if you don't come to that sometimes. Those things are, to me, some of the better times that I've spent in. You agree? I mean, sometimes we just get some things to talk about. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 15. I think, it's just me, having studied through that, I think that passage speaks for the rest of the book. In the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 1:15 says this: what is crooked can't be straightened, and what is lacking can't be counted. And if you think about it, the whole rest of the book actually delves into that. Let's look at these different things. Let's look at these different topics. You know, somebody dies and they leave all their stuff to somebody else, and what good does it do him? Or somebody's wealthy and wicked, but he dies. He's got to give all of his possessions to somebody who's righteous or godly. But still, what good did it do him? And that's kind of his question throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. What good living all these kinds of things? In Ecclesiastes 3, he talks about how there are different things in our life, different phases of our life, different things that we experience, sometimes time to build up and other times time to tear down and those kinds of things like that. They just happen in life. But for all of us to realize what Ecclesiastes 1:15 says, what is crooked can't be straightened, is there are always going to be things in this life, in your life, that aren't going to work because the world's broken. And so we begin to worry about things in life, what we're worried about is what the Ecclesiastes, what the wise man says. That's because there's stuff in the world that's crooked and it can't be straightened. You can't fix it, is what he's saying, basically. None of us can. It's just the way, because of the fall of man, because of even God's devices in the world to test us, things don't always go perfectly in our life. And things that are lacking can't be counted, he says. You can't count what's not there. And so, again, don't worry. I think we'd apply there. It's not going to do you any good. You're not going to straighten out what's crooked. That's what he says. What's crooked can't be straightened. So worrying's not going to straighten it out. All right, number three of the reasons, because you won't be any different than the pagans. That's the third one. Says that almost at the very end. Look at the pagans, he says. You know, they worry about everything. And so the pagans run after, in fact, the NIV says, for the pagans run after these things. Now, here's the reason why. By the way, pagans today would be maybe more modern, you know, just a secularist person. And, you know, sometimes they're not hateful, bad people. They just don't accept God, and they're just kind of happy living their secular life. Well, their biggest focus has to be on that secular life. It's got to be on what I have. It's got to be on what's physical. That's the chasing after the things that we see today. And we're living in a very materialistic country, I'd say world, and we're concerned about all these materialistic things. You know, oh, my car's 2 years old. Woe is me. I've got to run out and get me a new one. You know, I just saw one go by that's got some new changes on the taillights and stuff. So it's the next newest model, and I got to drive that next newest model, for crying out loud. Don't you? And so we begin to worry about those kind of things and worry about the things that we possess. And Jesus says you don't need to be like that. Don't be like the pagans, for crying out loud. That's in the scriptures. You got to look at the Greek. No, it's not really. But don't be like the pagans. You know, why be? Because he says they're really not concerned with the righteous things. And that's the verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Pagans aren't doing that. In his day, Jesus' day, in the day of the people that listened at the first time, paganism was a religion too. They believed in gods, but they believed their little g gods, their mythological polytheistic religious gods, were about their own business. I mean, they may be off together bowling somewhere, and you're bothering them when you ask for their help. And so, you know, you can't really even depend on those pagan gods to help you. That's what they believed. In fact, they believe sometimes you got to be real careful when you approach those little gods, because, again, they can be really wrathful at you, and you may be at sea, and all of a sudden a big storm comes up, and, well, God's mad at you, and those kinds of things. And so they're just focused themselves, because their gods really aren't there for them, on just this world. That's why I say the pagans today are the secularists. They don't believe in God, or they don't care to think about God. And so, therefore, the only other thing that they have to think about is just this immediate physical world. And so don't be like that. That's what Jesus is saying. It's a reason. And the second, and I got to move for this. Jen hasn't come to the door yet and pointed at her watch, but, you know, she doesn't do that. I like to pick on her. Even though she left the bulletin home today, you know, she still gets off the hook there. All right, second point, and it's the last one, and that is Jesus tells us how to become worry-free. That's really what you've been waiting for, I hope. We'll go through a little quick. Well, the first one is by growing in faith. How? can I get over this problem with worry, with anxiety in my life? Jesus says you're going to need some more faith. He says that when he asks us in verse 30, if then this is how God clothes a field, grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And so he's saying that. He's not being real hatefully critical, of course not, but he's letting us know having too much anxiety in your life shows a lack of faith. That makes sense, doesn't it? I can't trust in God. I look at what's going on in my life, and it's all out of whack. And, you know, I can't do anything. And Jesus is saying, you know, you need some faith. Look at the flowers and how God takes care of them. And, boy, weren't the blue bonnets beautiful this time of year? We went out on our bikes and rode out in the areas down around Kerrville. Awesome, 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 awesome. I remember going to Pepperdine Lectures in California on I-5, going through the Grapevine, which goes up and through a pass. And there's a little place where you're riding along, and there's these large hills off to the sides, especially on the left side. And there were poppies. It was that time of year. I mean, it just the whole thing was just covered with poppies all the way to the top. And it just takes your breath away, you know, and they're so beautiful. And yet Jesus says, but you know what? They're gone. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. And God clothes them. But, you know, be concerned about those things in life, but realize you know, there's more important things. All right, here's the second one. Here's how to overcome anxiety in your life. Jesus says, by changing your primary concerns. Verse 33. By changing your primary concerns. See, the pagans run after these things. You ought not do that. Verse 33 then. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's Jesus. If you just focus on the kingdom and on those things, and they become your primary concern, you'll find yourself worrying less about everyday things. So your cupboard's almost half bare. It'll work out. Worry about the kingdom if you're going to worry about anything, you know, like Paul was. He said, my chief concern is my concern or my worry about the churches. That's worthwhile to be concerned about and not some of the other things. And so in the NLT, it says that he will give you all you need day to day if you live for him and to make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That's in the New Living Translation. Here's number three, by taking it one day at a time. That's verse 34. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. So let all the future worry out. Get rid of it, because you can't handle it. You can't change it. You can't add life, anything to your life. If you're going to be concerned about things, let it just be about today. Today's got enough trouble of its own. That's number three. Number four, by training yourself not to worry. Now that goes back up to verse 25. 24 says, therefore, don't worry about your life and what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more important than clothing? And look at the birds. They don't sow or reap. And your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And, you know, don't worry about this everyday life, he's saying to us. Train yourself not to worry. Just simply commands us. Therefore, do not worry. And so it's an obedient thing. If God said, if Jesus said, and he does, and others do, in the New Testament, you ought to pray, what are you going to do? Well, you better pray. Because God is saying, hey, this is good for you, but I'm telling you to do it. And if you are a child of God, then you submit to God. If you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus says, I tell you, don't worry, then that's something we need to focus on. And we need to remind ourselves and train ourselves when we find ourselves worrying. Now, here's two last ones, and they're not found in this text. They're found, one of them in Philippians 4, and the other one's in the book of Proverbs. And so, number five is, by praying about it. And that's Philippians 4. How many of us don't know that one, where the Apostle Paul writes about worrying and how we ought not to worry about these kinds of things? Here's the text. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Again, that's the New Living Translation, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. I underline that word in my text. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And go to God about all the things that you're concerned about and all the needs that you have, and then trust God to take care of those needs for you. And that's the power of prayer, and it will help us with anxiety. How many of you, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'll pretend like you will. How many haven't done that? How many haven't had some kind of anxiety and asked God to help me with this? You know, I've got to worry about this. And you find later on that God actually does give you that peace. See, I didn't believe that for a while in my life, because I've read it and preached it even. And but there are times I've had anxiety and I prayed to God and it didn't seem like it helped, you know. But it's probably because I wasn't really trusting and I wasn't really believing it. When I prayed, I was just sort of like a knee-jerk, Bible tells me to do that, and so therefore I'm going to do it. But you pray when you really do, and I've done that since then and learned that, wow, you really do get this peace that passes understanding. You really do. And, you know, you just hand it off to God and don't worry about it. And God will handle it for you. And even if He handles it in a slightly different way than you're asking, He's handling it. That's the point. And here's the last one, and this is important. I want you to catch this one. Go home and mull over this one, if you will. Text is Proverbs 12:25, and I'll tell you what the point is after I read you the text. He says, the wise man says, anxiety wears down the heart. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Anxiety wears down the heart. It just kind of beats you down. Then he says, but a kind word cheers it up. Wow. When I read that, you know, I looked up anxiety in the Bible, and I looked at different scriptures, and I thought, boy, this says something, this one. And so I put it down as our final one. Because anxiety wears down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. So I thought, here's how you can help, each of us can help ourselves with the anxieties we have. Here's something we can do to help to get rid of it in our lives and not to be anxious. By cheering others up who are worried. Instead of worrying about yourself, worry about somebody you know who's worrying and see what you can do to help them stop worrying. Now, this is powerful all by itself, because anxiety wears down a person's heart, and so you can see it in somebody's life. They're feeling all this emotion and anxiety and just getting beat down, and that's what it does to people. Well, you could come alongside that person and cheer them up. I don't mean crack a joke. That's not what Solomon means. You could cheer them up by helping them to look at the bright side. And when they begin to look at the bright side, they say, you know what, you're right. And they kind of get cheered up. And the point there is, therefore, you're helping other people. You're not worried about yourself, number one. But number two is, whenever you are down in your life, try to cheer your own self up. Maybe others will come around you and cheer you up. My wife does that sometimes, and I'm sure I've done that for her, and I'm sure you've done that for other people. But there's actually a Bible verse that says that's a good idea, to cheer other people up and help others help you too. And helping others helps you too. That's the whole point. So here's the last points, and let me just summarize what we said. First of all, we talked about why you shouldn't worry. Jesus gives some specifics there. It's more to life, he says, than that. More to life than the little piddly things that we worry about. And so just realize those things are kind of small potatoes when it comes to other things in life that we should be look at and enjoy and be happy about. Also, worry won't help. Doesn't do any good. And so don't worry, because you're just wasting your time. And the third thing is, you become a worldly person if you do, just like the pagans, just like secularists today who are worried about how much money they're making and whether they got this and that going on. Can I compete with these particular people that I look up to? Can I live in that neighborhood because it's a better neighborhood than I live in? And just wring my hands over life. Stop doing that, he says. The second thing is how to be worry-free. And he gives us these six things. Spiritual growth, grow in faith, you know, work on your faith, refocus what you care about is number two, and then just live one day at a time and be concerned with today's concerns, marginally concerned, but be concerned, and then train yourself not to worry. When you feel yourself worrying, remind yourself, you know what, the Bible tells me I should not worry, and I really don't have to worry, and kind of remind yourself of these kind of things and train yourself. Pray. That's number five. Pray whenever you have anxieties, and about those anxieties, specifically spell them out. And then finally, helping others helps you. I think that's, again, the most, to me, a pretty powerful one. Helps me if I help other people and realize what helps them is to look on the bright side of life. And then I find that helps me, because then if I've taught others, ask other people to look on the bright side, then I ought to as well. And so it helps me with my worrying. It's a great little passage, and really kind of hindsight, Jesus really wasn't meddling, because he's dealing with something that's really crucial to us. None of us raised our hands about who has never worried in their life. Therefore, we all worry. And that's why Jesus puts it in here. It's something important. It can really damage our life and family life and all kinds of things like that. So it's something that we want to work on. And thank God that Jesus spoke that in this Sermon on the Mount, and that we're able to hear it again, read through it, and kind of pick out some of the thoughts he has for us. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing an invitation song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and for your Son, and as he spoke to us through this, it started all the way back to people back then, and realize we haven't changed for the last 2,000 years. We're just like they were in our worry. Help us with our worry, Father. Help us to look on the bright side. Bless us now as we go into our time to fellowship together, and we pray a great blessing on us and on the meal there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing. If you have a need, we invite you to come.